You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. A lot to talk about. Wide receiver, obviously, Mel Kiper Jr. He thinks it's important. He has the Browns going Devontae Parker at number 12. Our guest from earlier in the show, Lance Zierlein, he thinks it's important. He has the Browns going Kevin White, the wide receiver from West Virginia, at number 12 overall. So a lot of people think that's where the Browns need to go in the draft. And again, for those who say that there's no way Ray Farmer would draft a receiver, remember he said, he's on record as saying, had we stayed at number 4, we'd have taken Sammy Watkins. So clearly a wide receiver could be in the Browns' future in this draft.
And also, too, I think the need for wide receiver is exactly the same, because we were entering, and why everybody was so adamant about getting Sammy Watkins early in that draft is because of the absence of Josh Gordon for those 10 games. We needed star power at the wide receiver position, and we're again without Josh Gordon, this time for the entire season. And I think the value that we need to get is still at the wide receiver position. And I think 12, with Amari Cooper probably going well before, I think Oakland is a great fit for him. You could take that Derek Carr, and Amari Cooper can play some great football there in Oakland for many years. And it seems like a gap. If you look at the teams drafting between Oakland and us, there's not really much need at wide receiver. Maybe the Jets, but of course they need a quarterback. And that's where Mariota has been rumored to go.
Yep.
That we have the pick of the litter with Kevin White or Devontae Parker at 12.
It certainly seems that way for the Cleveland Browns. Let's go to Ray in Atlanta talking about the Browns draft. Hey, Ray.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Hey, thank you guys for standing up and taking calls, man, regardless of how good or bad the news is about the team. You know,
That's what we do, man.
Yep. Hey, in regards to the draft, maybe it's just me, man, but I didn't think prior to Josh Gordon coming back, man, I didn't think the receivers looked bad last year, man. Those guys were running good routes and getting open. Now, I wouldn't want to pass up a guy like Sammy Watkins again. I really like Kevin White, but I think football it's changed a lot, but it's still the same, man. It's one in the trenches. I'd like to see somebody on the defensive line come off the board really early, perhaps O-line depth and tight end as well as high as possible, maybe second round or so. I'd like to see a really good tight end, blocking tight end with some good hands, man, and size, so.
Yeah,
I mean, let's see what you guys have to say about that.
And I think we can get that blocking tight end, you know, later in the draft. But also, too, is with as much uncertainty as the Cleveland Browns have surrounding the quarterback position, I think we have to bolster the weapons. And as I said earlier, your ability to score the football, that's scoring touchdowns. And I think both in Parker and White, you get not only someone who can, as I said, you know, 50 receptions and 750 yards, but these guys both scored a lot of touchdowns in college as well. And their efficiency in the red zone, being a bigger target, is something that whoever is the quarterback here in Cleveland will learn to love. And you look at, Money Miles. And I think, you know, Jim Donovan talked about, you know, how we missed him at certain points in the football season once he got hurt. But his ability to get open on third down and body himself open in some situations. And I just see that, you know, Miles, you know, hoping he comes back, and I believe he'd be a great asset to the Browns, along with Gabriel, Benjamin, and Hawkins. But adding another larger weapon is key, because it gives you more options down in the red zone. You see where Jimmy Graham and Gronkowski and these bigger and Dez Bryant, they can go up and get the football. And that is something that you can't teach. You can't teach size.
I want to see Rodney Smith get an opportunity. 6'5". And listen, the truth of the matter is, if you're having Johnny Manziel as your quarterback, you need those bigger targets. Think about Drew Brees. Who does he work the middle of the field with? Marcus Colston, who was a converted tight end from Hofstra, and you work the middle of the field with Jimmy Graham. Big targets.
Both
shorter
6'3
quarterbacks
plus.
Need bigger targets to get the ball up to. You look at the success Russell Wilson had in the Super Bowl. Who was it? Throwing it up to a guy who didn't even have a catch. Why? Because he was big and he could win one-on-one by high-pointing the ball. The Browns didn't take advantage of that. They didn't give any opportunities. And we know Rodney Smith, one of the 10 fastest guys on the team. He's 6'5". He's a big receiver. So maybe he's someone who can develop here in this season and ultimately be a factor for the Cleveland Browns. But you got to have some size at wide receiver. You got to have some people getting it done. And to Ray's point, though, as well, the D-line in the trenches, if the Browns have a good defensive line with as good as their back end is, this team is going to be unbelievable on defense.
No doubt. And that's where I was kind of going to go. Not so much in the D-line. I think that one of the two picks will go D-line. But I think that, you know, and we're all banking this on last year's second pick being an absolute, you know, slam dunk, grand slam home run with Joel Bitonio, that Ray Farmer and his staff's ability to evaluate post-first-round prospects and hit on those. You know, that if we get it right and get contributors at 12 and 19 or whatever we do in the first round and get and add value the way we did two consecutive years, you know, we are, as Lance said earlier, not as far from, you know, being a contender in the not only in the AFC North but in the playoffs in the National Football League as most people might think.
Got to thank our guy Ray Duvall for calling in from Atlanta. By the way, sharp looking guy on Twitter. He's got a nice little vest on. He's ready to rock and roll, Ray.
Good.
So appreciate
he's
you calling in.
He's about that business.
He's all about the business. Yes, indeed. And that's what the Browns are about, and certainly the NFL. Obviously, they don't know what's going on. We've got every, you know, you can see when you're on Twitter right now, like Ross Tucker, we had on last week, his podcast this week is, what is going on with the Browns? What's the deal with the Browns? Everybody wants to talk Browns right now. It's a hot button thing. I can't wait for the Browns to be in the news for all of these things in a positive manner.
No doubt.
You know, when I'm sure, hopefully, that day will come. You know, Texgate is still looming. People are saying they think that a ruling on that will come relatively soon.
And you're right, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but just thinking about that is we have a fun show, and we love what we do.
Sure.
But and we have the most loyal fans in all of football, but how fun is going to be doing this show week in, week out when we're dominating folks and we're playing football and that the fans and the Dog Pound is proud of their product and they're winning football games? We might have that'll be like the greatest
it'll
job in
like
America.
It'll be like the Mardi Gras of radio every single
Absolutely.
Day. Absolutely. That's what it'll be here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We're going to get into the Browns mailbag and wrap things up here on this show. Again, 216-578-0850 if you got any calls you want to get in here. An interesting study. Remember Gibbs, when you were yelling at me, by the way, about Tony Romo?
Still sucks.
So 538.
You're going to give me some analytics.
Here we go, Charles Barkley.
I'm going to take a nap.
538. The website we were talking about, Nate Silver's website, has actually an article about Tony Romo being the best come-from-behind quarterback in the NFL this season. He was their, let me see what the exact term that they called it was, their quarterback of the year, in fact, was Tony Romo.
Oh, my God.
Skeptical Football's Gunslinger of the Year. In fact, since 2001, the only quarterbacks that have been better than Tony Romo in terms of being a great come-from-behind quarterback, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and your boy over there, Mr. Philip Rivers. That's it. Tony Romo is one of the best fourth quarters. I told you back when you're making fun of my stats before, best fourth quarter quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League, one of the best come-from-behind quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League.
Yeah, because he puts him in a hole in the second
and
third quarter.
You say that, but that is like a ridiculous thing to say. What do his defenses? His defenses aren't culpable. All of a sudden, it's Tony Romo putting teams in holes.
And it also doesn't hurt if you have one of the best running backs in the NFL on your team.
When was DeMarco Murray the best running back in the NFL? This year?
I'd still say it was Le'Veon
Bell, But what I'm talking about, historical context, winning percentage of quarterbacks when trailing by 9.5 points versus win percentage when trailing by any margin, quarterback season 2001 to present, the best Brees, Manning, Rivers, Tony Romo.
And what did you do this year? You lost in the second round of the playoffs.
They got it. Dude.
I'm not saying
great
they
throw.
Didn't get jobbed.
Great throw, by the way, to Dez Bryant. That's a catch.
Not
that's
saying catch. It shouldn't have been a catch, but he was watching the Super Bowl just like you and me.
Was it a catch, Gibbs? Was that his fault?
I said it was a catch. I said it. But I'm telling you right now, overrated.
Gunslinger of the year.
Oh, yeah. By who? Mom's basement?
538 Sports, dude.
Yeah, okay.
Unbelievable.
Mom, give me some more meatloaf.
You sound like Charles
Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up. I'm watching Tony Romo highlights. I had to. Sorry.
Just saying. And your analytics, I agree with Wilhelm. For a player in season to look at tendencies, outside of that, I don't know what the analytics.
Tony Romo led the Cowboys to 4 victories in the 6 games in which he faced 9-plus point deficits. That 66% win rate is the highest for any team since 2001 that has trailed in as many games.
What does that mean? Like, congratulations, you're one of the top 15 quarterbacks.
So here you go. So you might think Romo has just been a machine when trailing big, right? Nope, he was slinging it. Romo's interception rate in those situations was the second highest in the league. So he actually was a gunslinger, but he found a way to get it done.
You flip
taking
a coin. You complete some, you get some picked off.
Unbelievable.
Am I wrong?
Unrelenting.
When the Cowboys were up or down by one or fewer scores, Romo's interception rate was only 0.6%, the lowest in the league. Yes, even lower than Aaron Rodgers, who posted a 1.2 rate in those situations. So he is only a gunslinger when he has to be. He knows how to manage the game when he doesn't have to be in clutch situations, and he was the best fourth quarter quarterback in the NFL this year. So, I mean, at some point, Gibbs, we will not let facts get in the way of, you know, your hatred of Tony Romo. My buddy Vince Conti also says the same thing. But the fact of the matter is Tony Romo is a pretty darn good quarterback. And I think there's no question he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL.
Okay.
I will say that the individuals who put together those analytics that you just rattled off have way too much time on
Mom's
their hands.
Mom's basement? This isn't like a big ESPN website, 538 Sports. Nate Silver is the guy who was predicting every election correctly. The guy knows what he's talking about, man.
Did he go to the prom?
Did he? Oh, man, you guys are crazy. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. By the way, 538 Sports also said Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback of all time. So
hey,
suck it,
I'm not. Kid. Okay, fine. I'm good with that.
Shout out to the kid. Suck it.
Kid.
I get the whole tendency thing when you're in season and you're a player, but I question how much it actually helps you in the offseason when you're going after guys or when you're drafting players.
I think you can find things that are
the eye test.
For example, it is the eye test, but there's also – it's also, in my opinion, there is another way to look at it. You're getting yourself an advantage. You could be a team that only plays off coverage, and you can find a cornerback whose stats overall might not be great, but when he was in off coverage, he was a great cornerback because of analytics. You would know that for your system, he's going to be better, and you could value him higher than other teams could.
That's one situation. The other situation is what if you do use analytics, and you come off a player simply because the tiebreaker is those analytics. That player goes another direction. Of course, you happen to go a different direction, and that other player goes and balls out, and you go, if it weren't for those damn analytics, we would have drafted so-and-so.
It's all about odds. It's all about improving.
So you're flipping a coin.
No, you're not. It's about improving your odds for success. That's all it is. It's about getting as much information as possible so that you could say the best GM in the NFL, in the history, the best GM in the NFL, in my opinion, and this is statistically proven, maybe hit like 58% of their picks.
Correct.
That's the best ever. So if by using analytics in addition to the traditional scouting methods, you can now hit at 63% of your picks, that's a significant overtime increase. That's the value of it. So you're just trying to increase your odds.
Congratulations, you now have a D instead of an F.
Well, if you know anything about gambling, if you go from 58% to 63% winning percentage, you're making a lot of money.
Pretty. There was actually a great ESPN article,
Gibbs,
about the world's greatest Vegas bet gambler. And it was I think the Vegas average was like 54%. He was gambling at a 59% rate.
Right,
so that 5% difference was
huge.
Hundreds of millions of dollars in his favor.
It's all about improving your odds, the chance that you can have the odds for success. Gibbs, why don't we just get right into the mailbag here?
All right, you want to go right into the mailbag?
Just get right into the mailbag. Let's do it. Let's wrap up this show.
I'm sorry. The whole analytics thing to me, I don't know. I agree on some points, but I disagree on plenty of others. Are you talking to me, Wilhelm?
No.
Gibbs, I mean, seriously, people for one time used to like smack rocks together and rub twigs together to make fire. Now all of a sudden we have lighters.
Well,
like,
one could argue they might have drafted better than the Browns have recently by doing that.
You don't like Joel Bitonio or Chris Kirksey?
I didn't say this past year.
Recently?
The first quarter, the jury's out still, though. First round.
The jury's
still out.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but analytics can't tell me that Johnny Manziel's going to be in rehab after one season.
No, they can't.
And it can't tell you about a person. And it can't tell you, how much harder a person
is. That's why it's a piece of the puzzle, Gibbs. Why are you refusing to add that topping to your pizza?
I just don't. I don't think it's.
So you think
you not
no
like
value.
Pizza?
I love pizza. Well, look at me.
Analytics have no value.
Look at me. Tell me I don't like pizza.
Just a hint of sarcasm.
Paul Myers tweets at us in the mailbag today. Does Ray and the front office have their big board set yet? Do they own their own internal mock drafts? That was worded poorly, but I
wouldn't.
Though.
Go ahead, Nathan.
All the scouts are in town right now. They are putting together their big board, and certainly the Browns draft board. That's something that's going to happen this week. At least they're going to get their pre-combine board together. Then they're going to go ahead after the combine, reconvene, and get that to that in essence together. So to me, I would say that, yes, they're going to put that together, but it's going to be evolving through that, through the pro day workouts, et cetera. Then it should be set for the draft, which is certainly a very good thing. Do they do their own internal mock drafts and scenarios? Of course they do. They do that repeatedly over and over again so that they are prepared for any scenario when it's their turn on the clock, any trades, et cetera. Every team does that.
And my question for you, Nathan, is, and you'll know more than I because this is a perspective I've never had. So once that draft board is set, like you said, after pro days and no one's having and there's that lull between draft, is an off-the-field issue or an injury essentially the only way that someone can truly drop off of a draft board or drop from a spot?
Could be an interview. You could what you find in their background check, your psych evaluation of a player. It could be their pro day could scare you. Listen, many teams, if the draft happened last February, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't get out of the top 10. 0% chance Teddy Bridgewater gets out of the top 10. His pro day workout
did analytics
a lot
screw
of teams.
Him?
What?
Did analytics screw him out of the top 10?
No, he was the analytics darling. He was by far the number one analytics quarterback. He was on our survey on any advanced metric or advanced analytics. Teddy Bridgewater was by far the best quarterback coming out of college last year. Not even close.
So why didn't we take him?
I don't have the answer to that question.
Fair enough. Moving on. JB tweets at us using the hashtag mailbag today at Browns_daily. Thoughts on the Browns maybe trying to trade for Osweiler? Thoughts, gentlemen?
I don't know that he would be. Maybe he's somebody that could be on their list, but I don't think Denver is let. If Denver likes him, they're not going to let him go, given that Peyton Manning's got one more year there, if that. So I don't think that's likely.
I think
Mike Glennon is completely, when you think of a guy that's going to come at zero price tag, very little risk, has thrown 29 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. He's got the size that you want in the AFC North. Why not kick the tires on him? I'm not saying he's going to be good, but I think the risk associated with bringing in a guy who, by the way, has played in the NFL, has a 2-to-1 interception ratio in the NFL, where the cost is going to be so low, why not? That's what I would say.
I agree. And I don't think Osweiler, he's got – Peyton Manning's, you know, day-to-day in my eyes. You know, he was contemplating retirement at this point. So that chip is going to pass eventually, and you might not be there to clean up what's going to be a great bolstered roster.
No question. All right, for my guy, Matt Wilhelm,
yes.
I'm Nathan Zagura. Jason Gibbs, got to thank Lance Zierlein as well for checking in with us on his NFL mock draft. Again, the Browns going receiver D-line in both Mel Kiper and Lance's drafts released today. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. Don't forget to download the Browns mobile app in your Apple and Android stores. We bark together, Cleveland. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. And thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.